World Travel, An Irreverent Guide by Anthony Bourdain and Laurie Wolliver. It was never my intention to be a reporter, a critic, an advocate. It was also never my intention to provide audiences with everything they needed to know about a place, or even a balanced or comprehensive overview. I am a storyteller. I go places. I come back. I tell you how the place made me feel. Through the use of powerful tools like great photography, skillful editing, sound mixing, color correction, music, which is often composed specifically for the purpose, and brilliant producers. I can, in the very best cases, make you feel a little bit like I did at the time. At least I hope so. It's a manipulative process. It's also a deeply satisfying one. Anthony Bourdain, 2012. The book is World Travel, An Irreverent Guide. And it's a wonderful way to travel the world. Through our senses, as much as through our minds, through our eyes. We travel with Bourdain through well-organized quotes woven together with insightful, knowledgeable comments by his longtime associate and now co-author, Wolliver, traveling alphabetically from Croatia to Cuba, from Mozambique to Peru, from Taiwan to Seattle in West Virginia. It's an interesting choice, this traveling by alphabet instead of by region or continent, and it gives Bourdain and Laurie Wolliver a clear path to focus on the nation at hand rather than the international ragout in which the people and the cuisine of the nation find themselves. Surprisingly, for someone who is so geographic in his thinking, this worked for me. We begin our book with Argentina, and then travel on to Australia, Austria, Bhutan, and Brazil. No Albania, no Andorra, much to my loss. Jumping continents to the South European nation of Croatia, an ancient land on the Dalmatian coast, east of Italy, south of Austria, we hear Tony Bourdain credit this coastal and mountainous nation with some of the very best food, the very best views, anywhere. He writes, I didn't have any idea what Croatian cuisine was. Zero. I had no picture in my mind. I knew vaguely that it had been part of Rome or part of the Venetian Empire way back. It was pretty, but that was about it. You know, I'll tell you honestly, if you like food and you haven't come here to eat, you're really missing the effing boat. This is world-class food. This is world-class wine. This is world-class cheese. The next big thing is Croatia. If you haven't been here, you're a effing idiot. I'm an idiot. A little later. If you know me at all, Bourdain writes, you know that I'm all about this slow, slow, slowly simmering ragu of veal along with several other cuts that will remain secret. This has been going on all day, since before sunrise, carefully tended and stirred constantly. Then the rice, more gentle, careful stirring, cooked just right. A sprinkling of cheese from the island of Pog, of course, and the scent coming off this thing fills the yard, driving anything, man and beast alike, mad with desire. This is the single best mouthful of food I've had in this country. Skipping through the continents as the alphabet moves us relentlessly forward, Cuba in the Caribbean, Myanmar in Southeast Asia, Mozambique on the southeast coast of Africa. The continents roll out before our fingers as the pages turn. The colorful language of Bourdain erupts and surges, and the reader's desire for cuisine travel mounts. More than once, he returns us to his jaunts into Southeast Asia and the Caribbean as the widely varied cuisines of these nations take starring roles in today's book, with the emphasis of the book's travel and cuisine taking us to out-of-the-way places, not only Croatia, and foods, of course. The usual tourist is unlikely to seek out. We go to Laos, Cambodia, Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City, Sri Lanka. These are not the usual haunts of the traditional tourist, even today, or post-COVID, I suspect. But these are destinations and cuisines that Tony Bourdain seeks out with his ever-curious mind and stomach. But not to be overlooked, the most pages are devoted to Bourdain's own United States and to Great Britain, the nation most responsible, perhaps, for birthing the contemporary United States. Anthony Bourdain, many of us know, was a colorful, often over-the-top personality whose TV persona captivated millions for years as he bebopped around the world, tasting, smelling, shaking hands, and inviting us to join him in his garrulous approach to gastronomic travel. So it's surprising to me that world travel is too often too short in its approach to offering the reader a real flavor of the nations visited. On his TV show, he would often give himself an hour or so to really delve into the nation, to really give us an idea of what he was seeing and tasting and smelling, etc. The chapters are short. Take, for example, our nation's southern neighbor, Mexico, a nation of many regional peoples and cuisines. Mexico receives 9 pages. 9 pages. Its focus, not surprisingly, on the sprawling metropolis of Mexico City, the second largest city in the world. And it's given its due with both a world-famous restaurant and the delights of street food. 2, to the book's credit, Oaxaca, one of the oldest regional cuisines of the Americas, gets noted in this too-short chapter as well. The final word on today's title, if you enjoy Anthony Bourdain's witty, adventurous, and often gritty TV series as he eats his way around the world, I suggest your best advice to stay with those now classic television episodes. World travel will likely disappoint you. Indeed, World Travel is a book that turns the old saw about a book is better than its film on its head. But if you're willing to read today's book as a temptingly readable guide to the myriad of cuisines you and I might explore as we travel around the world or through a visit to a local or regional restaurant, then World Travel is worth a look. Let's finish with these two very different nations, two equally robust and spirited Anthony Bourdain takes, if you will, our nation's own West Virginia, and traveling overseas to Paris, France. While in the U.S., Anthony Bourdain takes us from L.A. to Miami, from Atlanta to New Orleans, Provincetown, Detroit, Portland, Pittsburgh, Charleston, South Carolina, Austin, Texas, many more. And he concludes with West Virginia. As he tells us, in this short but rhapsodic chapter, quote, it's easy to think, having lived in New York City all my life, that this is what America looks like, thinks like, that the things that are important to me are important to everybody, that every place is out there unthinkable, maybe even unknowable. 600 miles away from Midtown Manhattan is McDowell County, West Virginia, another America. The town of Welch, Bourdain writes, known in its glory days as the Little New York. The rest of the country took a lot of money out of these hills over the decades, billions and billions of dollars. And when it became cheaper or more convenient to pull the coal we needed to power our electrical grids and to make our steel elsewhere, this is what was left behind. But do not pity the people here, who, despite what you may think, are not unrealistic about a return to the glory days of coal and better times. In the minds of many of my fellow New Yorkers, it's the heart of God, guns, and Trump country, the existential enemy. To think about, much less empathize, with somebody who comes from 5 generations of coal miners in a place that looks like this is, to our enduring shame, unthinkable. Well, I went to West Virginia. And you know what? Here, in the very heart of every belief system I've ever mocked or fought against, I was welcomed with open arms by everyone. I found a place both heartbreaking and beautiful, a place that symbolizes, contains everything wrong and everything wonderful and hopeful about America. He goes on, this is what heirloom looks like outside of holy foods. Bloody butcher corn, fat horse beans, candy roaster squash, and Homer Fike's yellow ox heart tomatoes. These ingredients define a near lost time and flavor. The book's co-author, Laurie Wolliver, writes this. Tony loved Paris. He first visited as a child, as he detailed in Kitchen Confidential, and he made the first and 100th episodes of No Reservations there, along with an episode of The Layover. He was emphatic about converting the skeptical. We then hear from Tony. Paris and the French are easy to get wrong. You feel obligated to embrace the stereotype, and of course, to some extent, the stereotypes are true. Indulgent, arty, socialist, what with their free medical care and their long vacations and their un-American propensity for high quality of life. They suffer from the burden, a tradition of fabulously oozing cheeses, rich sauces, historic wines, the kind of thing that tends to pigeonhole a culture. Make you think it's all luxury. But it ain't all snooty waiters and haute cuisine. People are actually nicer. Good food is cheaper and more casual. You can still get the good old stuff. Just a lot of the BS seems to have gone the way of the woolly mammoth. Paris remains one of the greatest, most beautiful, most magical cities in the world, Bourdain writes. And like a lot of other really great cities, it's entirely possible to have a bad time. Please don't do that. Just avoid the obvious. The absolute worst thing to do when you come to Paris is plan too much. Eiffel Tower, Notre Dame, Arc de Triomphe. Stand in line for hours to experience what everybody says you have to. Me? I like to take it easy in Paris, especially if I'm only in town for a few days. Most of us are lucky to see Paris once in a lifetime. Make the most of it by doing as little as possible. Walk a little. Get lost a bit. Eat. Catch a breakfast buzz. Have a nap. Not just with a mime. Eat again. Lounge around drinking coffee. Maybe read a book. Drink some wine. Walk around a bit more. Eat. Repeat. See? It's easy. And this is where I say it's easy to fall in love with this book. It's easy to read the book. It's fun to read the book. Anthony Bourdain and Laurie Wolliver, World Travel, an Irreverent Guide. It's available at all of our fine local public libraries, as well as, certainly, the West Lafayette Public Library. Thank you for listening.